And so I'm going to have you look at several different places if you can want to try to keep up with me. Jonah chapter 2, and you can put a bookmark in there, and we will go through verse 1 through 9. But then I'm also going to start with Luke 4 and verse 18 if you wanted to look at that and put a bookmark. And you can't put a bookmark in your phones, can you? But then also 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So we're going to look at seven statements about how God can heal a broken heart. Pain and suffering and difficulty is a part of this life. I signed up for being a pastor 33 years ago. And so not only do I experience the pain that I experience in my life, the pain that I experience in pastors, but I actually get the privilege, and I count it a privilege and an honor, to be able to be a part of your lives when you go through pain and difficulties and sufferings. Even tomorrow, I will drive, get in the car, and go down, and I will sit with Evan at Milwaukee Children's Hospital. He's starting up, I believe, if I have it right, his second round of chemo. I think, what has he been in the hospital already? For a couple months already? A little 12-year-old boy that has leukemia, and it's really, really serious, and what the treatments that they're doing and what he's going through. And I share this illustration a lot. I believe that God is a miracle-working God, and God can bring healing, and it's awesome that we're praying for Evan. And I'm believing for healing for him. But even when I involve my life or you involve your life with other people's lives, even if you don't get the prayer results that you're looking for, here's a good thing that you can do. And it ties in with what the rain and the mud and all that's in the field right now. The farmer was out trying to get his harvest in. Another farmer, you can compare it to the spring, was trying to plant, and it was rainy, it was wet, it was muddy. And so the neighbor came and said, "I'll try to pull you out." But he said, "You know what? You're stuck pretty bad. So if I can't get you out, I'll at least sit in the mud with you." All right? So God is calling us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We have the privilege and the honor to be a part of one another's lives. The first sermon that Jesus ever preached was Luke 4:18, and let's read that. I'm going to read it from the Amplified today, so it's not going to be on the up above. You're going to have to follow me with your Bibles. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." This is Jesus' first sermon. Luke 4 and verse 18. "Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release, pardon, and forgiveness to the captives." Jesus came with a healing ministry. Jesus came to heal people's spirit, soul, and body, and he wants that same ministry to be done through your lives. For not only for him to heal you, but then for you to be a healing agent. I want Crossroads Family Church to be a healing center. Spirit, soul, and body. Physically, people can get healed. Spiritually, just like what Dave shared with us today, people can get born again. They can read the Word of God. And if today, if you heard God's voice speaking through Dave, which you should have, if you have not responded to the gospel and being saved today, today would be a great day to respond and make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. So Jesus came to bring healing to the captives, recover of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, and crushed by tragedy. Okay? In this world, it was said, you'll have tribulation, you'll have difficulty. It's a part of this life. My last point today, point number 7, and we'll see if we can get to point number 7 today, but that God has the final say. Isn't that awesome? Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, it says, "We all, if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we get to go to heaven, and up in heaven there's going to be no more sickness." Okay, no more cancer, amen? Cancer brought my mom home to be with the Lord in the end of March this year. I don't like cancer. I hate cancer. I hate all sickness. I hate the pain and suffering that this world has experienced because of the fall of man and Satan having inroads into this world. But God is a redemptive God. And so today, even though I'm sharing about pain and suffering and difficulties, God is a redemptive God. In the midst of pain and suffering, he has a redemptive plan and purpose for our lives. Amen? So Jesus came with a healing ministry to heal those that are oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, and crushed by tragedy. I want all of us to be that. Amen? The story of the little boy afraid of the storm. Okay, you get my same stories over and over, all right? He wanted to sleep with his parents. He was afraid of the storm, the lightning, everything was going on. And his parents reassured him, brought him back to his room. "It's going to be okay." "Well, I want you here with me." Brought him back to his room. This happened 3 times. Finally, the boy said, "You know what? I'd like a God with skin on." He wanted one of the parents there. You know what God wants you to be? He wants you to be a God with skin on. He wants the Word to become flesh in you so that Jesus' love and compassion and mercy and kindness that Jesus demonstrated in this earth, He wants that to be demonstrated through you. Amen? In Hebrews chapter 12, it says there's going to come a great shaking. Daryl, would you mind doing me a favor and pull down that shade right from that light? Every time I look that way, I'm blinded with the light. All right? Thank you very much, Daryl. So Jesus wants to live all the way down if we can. Thank you, Daryl. Doing awesome. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So Jesus wants to heal people. When Jesus lived his life, he brought healing to people. And he wants to bring that healing through you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Praise to be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles. The longer I'm here, I'll hopefully feel more comfortable to share different pains in my life, the comfort and mercy that God showed me in the difficult times of my life, who comforts those in trouble that we with the comfort we have ourselves received from God. So what God has done for us, he wants us then to reach out with that same comfort, that same mercy, that same grace and compassion, and reach out to others. You've probably all heard this same story as well, but it was a person that had a dream about their life. And in this dream, the dream showed all of the difficult times in their life that they went through. The person saw that during all those difficult times during their whole life, there was only one set of footprints. And so the person had a conversation with God and said, God, where were you? You said in Hebrews chapter 13, he didn't quote the verse, but I like to, you know, that you said you would never leave me or forsake me. You said that you were with me always, even to the end of the age. He said that in Hebrews 13. He said it in Matthew 28. He said it in many other places in the scripture. So this person is having a conversation with God because he has a dream. He sees his life and he sees that there's only one set of footprints. And he said, God, you said you promised that you would never leave me or forsake me, that you're with me always, that you would walk side by side, that you would carry me, and that you'd walk me through. And he said, Jesus interrupted him. He said, when there's only one set of footprints, it wasn't you walking, it was me carrying you through those difficult times. So we're going to look at seven different things. The point number one today is that God has a purpose and that God can heal the broken hearts. God can put us back together. The story of Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. I actually said that right the first time in my life. All right? Anyway. But God has the ability to reach down into our impossibilities and to heal our hearts. Amen. And with the healing and the comfort and the mercy and the grace of God that we've received, he wants us to take that comfort and bring it into other people's lives. If you haven't recognized, we live in a very, very hurting world. And God wants to step into people's lives, but he wants to step into people's lives through you. Amen? Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. We're just going to all different places today. We'll eventually get to Jonah too, if it all works out. But 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 22, to the weak I became weak, so to win the weak, I become all things to all people so that I might win some. This was Paul talking about. Amen? I did this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in his blessings. Now, this doesn't really tie in exactly with pain and suffering, but I've gone to Spencer Lake up Assembly Park Camp. I was a counselor, being part of that for 21 years in a row. Also, during the summer, I would come down to Spencer Lake and be a part of Special Touch Ministries. Okay, and so Special Touch is people that would have physical disabilities and also behavior or emotional disabilities. My first year of doing it, and I've done this for several years, they signed me up to be a counselor. Have you guys heard this story? Have I told you this one? Okay, can you imagine me at special needs camp being a counselor? And you know what? It wasn't a stretch for me, all right? You guys, whatever. When I was a counselor with people with emotional and behavioral disturbances, you know what? I became all things to all men. It wasn't that big of a stretch because I liked having fun no matter what in life. But I related to each and every one of those people during that whole week. One of the most difficult things I ever did also during that week was a person who had a disease that I had to rub ointment into this disease I don't know how many times a day. And it was like, anyway, I won't go on that story very long. It was very hard for me to eat after that, and dinner was always right after that. Anyway, where am I going with all this? All right, towards the end of the week, you know, I'm just having a blast. These people are accepting Jesus. They're getting closer to the Lord, and they're just beginning to ask me questions. I'm sure they probably started that by about the second day, not the last day. They said, how did you ever get in here as a counselor? They said, we think that you should probably sign up as one of the campers next year. Okay? Now, why would I share that? All right? I had a blast. We go to service in the morning, sir, in the afternoon. We go swimming and play games all afternoon. Who wouldn't want to sign up for that? But you know what? God wants us to become all things to all men that we might win some. God wants to reach down and heal people's lives and touch people's lives. He wants us to get involved in other people's lives. He doesn't want us just to look on our own interests, but he wants us to look at the interests of others. He wants to bring his world, his love, to a hurting and dying world, and he wants to bring that love through you. Amen? Hallelujah. Now you can turn to Jonah chapter 2. And it might take me a long time to get there, but then you'll be ready. So I'm going to share about some people in the Bible. I'll talk about Joseph, a familiar story. I'll talk about Daniel. But I want to read a couple stories as well of how we can relate to people going through difficulties. As ones united to Christ by the Spirit, we follow the way of the crucified Lord. We should not seek suffering, but we also remember that God works in surprising ways through the ways of the cross. This is called pray in solidarity. Those in crisis often feel alienated. So make the most of your prayerful Christian solidarity when with them as brothers and sisters in Christ. For example, this one guy that's sharing this story, he had really serious cancer, and he was going to have chemotherapy. He was going to have to shave his head in preparation for that intense chemotherapy. If you've seen the picture of Evan, he's been bald for quite a while with the chemo that he's been going through. After finding out when this would happen, over a dozen Christian friends shaved their heads the same day. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The seminary turned it into a joyful event that my family could also attend. I was in the hospital, but the group of supporters joined to cheer me on via Skype, cheering on the others getting a head shave as well. So they videoed all this. There was tears, but there was also laughter. In Ecclesiastes 3, I believe it is, it says there's a time to weep. There's a time to cry. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to rejoice. We need to identify with the difficulties of people that are around us. Cheering on others, getting a head shaved as well. There were tears, but there was also laughter. And it wasn't just a one-time event, but I looked in the mirror. I did not feel isolated. I knew that others were there with me, praying every time they were reminded of their funny-looking shaved heads. It was a living, displaying Paul's words that you fulfill the law of Christ when you bear one another's burdens. A cancer diagnosis affects many people, all right? And it lingers, amen? We need to be praying. Jeff, we're going to stand with you in the gap, Father, with that loss when cancer hits somebody. We need to all hate cancer, amen? It is crucial to find appropriate places for support, prayer, and encouragement. And that's what I want this church to be. We are an awesome church, but I want us to even enlarge this and become better at this and be a healing center. To bear one another's burdens in a crisis is essential to remember that people who should be the main focus of your prayers and care. Let's read Jonah chapter 2. All right, so this is the story of Jonah, you guys know, and I believe when we read stories in the Bible that they actually happened, amen? Okay, we believe that the Bible is a divinely inspired word of God, so if the Bible says he's in the belly of the whale, he's in the belly of a whale, amen? You know? So in his distress, he called to the Lord. There's a good idea. When we're going through life, and you know what? We should probably call upon the Lord every single day of our lives. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and currents swirled about me. Verse 3, all your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I've been banished from your sight, and yet I will look again. Now here's a good key right there. Look to the Lord towards the holy temple of God. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Sea wood was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. To the earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, O Lord my God, brought me up from the pit. And that's exactly what he will do. It says in Matthew, it says in Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. Amen. Sometimes we tell people to get over it. The Bible doesn't tell us to get over it. What the Bible tells us is that God will be with us and walk through us with it. Amen. Sometimes people think, oh, just get over it. Most likely that memory and that experience is going to be with you for a lifetime. God can take the pain away from that. But what God does, he doesn't cause you to get over it. What he does is he comes down into your life and walks you through it. Amen. And he not only wants to walk us through it, but he wants to use us to walk through those other experiences that people are other experiencing with that. Today, when you come on a Sunday morning, I hope to bring comfort into each and every one of your lives. Okay? But with the comfort that you receive, God wants you to bring that into other people's lives. So you're either, when you come here on a Sunday morning, you probably come for comfort. But God is wanting to use you to bring comfort into other people's lives. Now here's the key for Jonah right here. Verse 7, when my life was ebbing away. This is Dave, that testimony, what you shared today was absolutely amazing. I remembered you, Lord. And my prayers rose to you in your holy temple. Those that cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I will shout with grateful praise. I will sacrifice to you. That which I vowed I will make good, I will say salvation comes from the Lord. Okay, so here's, do you guys know the story in the background of Jonah? God calls Jonah to be a prophet and preach repentance to Nineveh. Did he want to obey God when God gave him that command? Did he obey that command? Well, eventually he did, but he didn't at first, did he? He says, God, what are you thinking? God, you're loony. If you think I'm going to go preach repentance to Nineveh, I want you to zap them all. I'd be okay if you judged them all right now and you just eliminated them from the face of the earth. They've been affecting Israel and doing bad things to my people for a long, long time, and you want me to go and preach the love and compassion and grace of God to them? Get a clue, God. I'm paraphrasing that if you didn't know that, amen? All right? I did clarify that, all right? This is not Schiff speaking right now, amen? I'm sorry, I had to throw that in right now. Oh, Lord, I shouldn't have done that. But so Jonah did not want God's grace and mercy for Nineveh. He wanted them to be judged. He refused to do what God asked him to do. God allowed him to be swallowed into the belly of the whale. Okay, in the belly of the whale, he says, all right, God, I surrender. I will do what, when he said I will sacrifice to you, I will, what I vowed I'll make good, that was saying, I'll go back and do whatever you asked. Well, that's a good time to wake up, amen? He said, all right, I'm in the belly whale. I said, God, I will offer a sacrifice to praise to you. You are the great deliverer. You are the great God. I will do what you asked me to do. When he said that, the whale, basically, he came back out of the whales. He says, salvation comes from the Lord. He was delivered, amen? So let me hit some of the points that I've already missed. But point number one, how God can heal the broken hearts is to know that God can heal the broken hearts. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, why Jesus came. And Jesus wants to live his life through us to bring that same comfort into other people. Point number two, God cares about your pain. You can follow along. I'm actually following my notes right now, all right? Miracle. You guys believe in miracles, don't you? All right. Point number two, God cares about your pain. In John chapter 11, when Jesus came and Jesus purposely waited 4 days. There's a whole lot more story to this. Jesus knew that Lazarus was dying. Jesus knew that Lazarus was going to die. All right. But Jesus waited 4 days. That's a whole nother sermon. But when he got there, he saw, was it Martha and Mary that were crying? And what did Jesus say? Here's the shortest verse in the Bible. If you want to memorize Bible verses, yeah, I think it's John 11, what is it, 34 or 35? It says Jesus wept. Jesus was moved when he saw them being moved because they had lost their brother. Here's a key. When you grieve, and you grieve much, it means that you loved much. Amen? There's nothing wrong with grief. Actually, grief is good. Amen? If you don't walk through the process of grief, there's a good chance that you'll get stuck in that experience in that moment for the rest of your life. So allow God to minister to you in that minister of that grief. Amen. But it says in Hebrews 4 that Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmity. So Jesus feels the pain. Here it says, this is a perfect example, Jesus wept. Jesus was willing to come down and get involved with whoever was hurting, and he wants us to do the same exact thing. Point number three, one thing that God will help us to heal our hearts is we need a biblical perspective. A biblical perspective is going to come when I read and quote once again, the last thing that God has the last say in all this, and there is a heaven. And there is a resurrection, and there is a hope of eternal life. And as difficult it is, we do not have to grieve as those who have no hope, because we know that there is a heaven, and our loved ones are in heaven, amen? All right, I get to see two moms up in heaven, amen? I get to see all the people that I've known and that I've loved that are already up there. I get to see them again. And God has the final say, amen? And the resurrection in heaven is for real, and that's a biblical perspective. In the midst of it, though, Jesus also said in John 14, 27, my peace I give to you, peace that the world can't give. There's chaos going around the world if you haven't noticed. Isaiah 60, it says darkness is going to cover the earth, gross darkness. Mark 13 says the tares, evil, sin is going to be at its greatest height right before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Amen. There's going to be pain and suffering. But in the midst of it, he says, arise and shine, for your light has come. Your development, your growth, your maturity, your walk with Jesus has come. And Gentiles are going to come to that light. People that are looking around and seeing the world in total chaos, they're looking for somebody that has peace in the midst of the storm. And that's you. Because the peace of God that passes all understanding is guarding your heart and your mind that's in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, the world can't give it. You can't understand it. But God will supernaturally give you a peace that will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Point number four, we need a church family. I've already quoted Ecclesiastes 4. It says two is better than one. If in Ecclesiastes 4, it says when one fell, you have somebody else to lift them up. Amen. Okay, thank God, you know, and I know we need to lift up Daryl and Sherry. We need to lift up Sean and Heather and their three kids. They're in the midst of hell right now in Haiti. They can't even most times go outside of their house. It's so difficult. If you look at their webpage or what's going on in Haiti, there's fires and riots and killing, and there's all kinds of evil going on. And they're in the midst of the storm. You know, we need to pray. It'd be easy just to not go back. You know, I know grandparents would love them just to stay on this side of the difficulty. But you know what? God wants to use Sean and Heather in the midst of what is going on in Haiti to be a light to the world, a light to the darkness, that people in their darkest hour of what they're experiencing, they can experience love and joy and peace from the Holy Ghost that's going to be big in Sean and Heather and their kids and every missionary there is there in the midst of it. Amen. We need a church family, okay? Thank God, my sister is like an angel. She's a saint. She is amazing, okay? My sister and her husband sold their house and moved in with Dad this year. You know, God is good, amen? Thank God for family, but not only personal family that we need to be connected to. I want this to be a family here at Crossroads Family Church. I want us to look around. Doug, I want to honor you. And I know you wouldn't want me to do this, but every time I went to visit Doug, who do you think was in the room? 12 to 14 hours a day with Dick. Did I say the right name? Whatever. Doug, you were there holding hand. You were probably there holding his hand when he went from this life to the next, weren't you, Doug? You know, Doug, I honor you. That's a God with skin on. That's loving a brother-in-law, you know, and he said, well, he'd be do the same thing for me. But Doug, that's what Christianity looks like. That's what love looks like. So when every daughter, any family member, any friend, they all came, who was always there? Doug was always there, holding his hand, blessing, just praying that over. And that's how we live our lives. If you want to find life, it's not in looking for you to find life for yourself. That's not how you find life. God says if you want to find life, you lose your life for my sake in the Gospels, and then you find out what the whole meaning of life is all about. Amen? being involved in other people's lives. You guys hang with me. This is a long story, but it is an amazing story. It's called Hope in a Hospice. One of our HIV patients now had full-blown AIDS. He refused to allow me to speak with him for almost 3 months because what I represented. This is a pastor. This was a chaplain, okay? And understandably so. But over time, he was willing to see me, and we got to know one another, talking mostly about his love of hunting and fishing. Amen? Every good conversation would start with that. Amen? I'm sorry. Oh, well, you can throw the Packers in there too. Sorry, Brad. All right. We never talked about God, never talked about faith, never opened the Bible, not once. This is a pastor. Hello. What I want to teach us all, and I think we're fairly good at this, but I want us to get better, it's called EQ. I call it emotional quotient, or ability to relate to people. You know, there's IQ, there's also EQ. EQ means you know when to keep your mouth shut. EQ means that you don't ask personal questions. EQ means that you don't invade people's personal space. Are you guys listening to me this morning? We are going to be a healing church here. And if we don't learn to do what I just said there, instead of bringing healing, we're going to bring more pain. I had somebody sit in my office this week sharing the pain that they went through. I apologize ahead of time for what I'm going to be about to say. But that person experienced pain, and it was from somebody in our church. Because they invaded their personal space and asked personal questions that was none of their business. I'm sorry, you could tell I had a few feelings on that one, amen? Are you with me here? We are supposed to be healing agents. We are not supposed to cause pain. We don't need to ask any personal questions, invade people's personal space, and ask any different things, amen? Are you guys with me? That was not in my notes. That came right from the Lord. But that's for all of us, of how to bring healing in other people's lives. You know how you bring healing? You mind your own business and stay out of people's lives. If they want to tell you something, they'll tell you something. Hello, I was preaching to you guys this morning, amen? I want us to be an absolutely amazing church, but when we violate personal people's space and personal relationships and invade that space without their permission, you are causing pain in their lives. I better get back to my sermon here, amen? Holy smokes, thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we want a good EQ. We want to bring healing into people's lives, not pain. Thank you, Lord. So on his last trip, his final trip, he had me paged in his room. His family was in the room with him. I just need you to sit here and talk to me, he told me. Just hold my hand and talk to me. I'm dying. I know, he said. I realize that we need to go somewhere we haven't yet. So quietly, very peacefully, this is his last day on the face of the earth. This person that had AIDS, he knows he's dying. The doctor said this is probably your last day. My friend, indeed, this is the pastor now, the reverend. If indeed you are dying today, I need to ask you something. Okay, up to this point, he hadn't mentioned scripture, God, Christianity, Jesus, or anything. But he knew this is his last day and he needed to ask. Have you thought about what will happen to you to be on today? If today is your last day on planet Earth, what would happen to you? Where would you go? Here's his response. It's interesting that you would ask that question, Reverend. He said, because the last time we met, I went home and sat in my backyard and I had a conversation with God. And I asked him to forgive me of my sins. Then I called my family members and I reconciled to some of my family members that had been at odds with me. I asked God to forgive me and I asked Jesus into my heart. That's the ultimate goal of all of this, amen? I was flabbergasted. It was a day of epiphany that I shall never forget. Then he said, but I really just wanted to see if you would sit down with me and hold my hand without a latex glove on. So we sat there hand in hand until he quietly slipped away. That's when I understood the power of Christ's presence and my role of being a deep listening presence, being able to connect with people, being available, being present, allowing that person to take time with you in their journey. It becomes a shared journey. Amen? A church family, a personal family. I didn't preach. I didn't quote scripture. I just needed to be present and display the love of God to this man. Somehow God took over from there. All right. I think I've preached long enough, and maybe you'll get the other points in another sermon. But once again, let me go ahead and just share the final three points really quick. Pain sometimes causes us to stop and reflect, and that's for all of us. Also, sometimes it draws us closer to God and brings God closer to us. And once again, remember that God will have the final say. Let's pray. I'm not going to share the stories. I'm going to pray the stories. But Father, I thank you, Lord, the story of Joseph in the Bible. He was sold as a slave by his brothers. He was lied about by Pharaoh's wife. And Pharaoh, even though he probably didn't believe that lie, he followed up with that lie. And then his comrades in prison, who he prepared and allowed them to get delivered because of his presence and his wisdom, then they betrayed him and abandoned him. And yet in the midst of that, God said, or Joseph said in Genesis chapter 50, what you meant for evil, what was meant for harm, God was able to turn around for good. And Father, the same thing with Romans 8:28. You're able to turn all things around for good for those that love God and are called according to your purpose. And Father, I thank you, Lord, through our worship that we experience today and the prayer that we're going to have afterwards, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to minister to our hearts and you're going to change this church even into a greater healing center than it already is. And we're going to bring hope to a hurting world. Thank you, Lord, that we do have the final say. You have the final say, that there's a heaven and that you are with us always. And Father, I pray for healing in our hearts as we worship you now in Jesus' name. Amen.